So for our second presentation, we have Nathaniel Jones. He'll be presenting on speeding up annual daylighting simulation using NumPy. Dr. Nathaniel Jones is a senior building scientist at AirUp and a professor of architecture at Wentworth Institute of Technology. He's the developer of comfort.airup.com, AirUp's advanced online comfort modeling tool, and of Accelerad, a suite of open source GPU-based lighting and daylighting simulation tools used by architects, engineers, and educators around the world. My pleasure to introduce Nathaniel.
Hey, thanks. So I'm here today to talk about vectorization. If you like daylighting but have no idea what vectorization is, then this is the session for you. If you've been using vectorization for a long time, you probably get paid too much to come to a conference like this. So I'll try to explain what vectorization is as a programming method and why it's relevant to daylighting, and then I'll show three different examples where I've used it to speed up daylighting calculations with spatial daylight autonomy, annual glare calculation, or specifically the rendering of lots of images for annual glare calculation, and then high dynamic range image processing. So as a motivating example, you know, you're doing daylighting, you have this question, how well daylight is my building? And the naive approach to solving that problem on a computer is to go through and calculate 1 hour of the year at a time, daylighting on January 1st, 7 a.m., then 8 a.m., then 9 a.m., and so on. The smarter way to do it, the way that we tend to do it now, is with matrices. We calculate a view factor matrix to understand how much view each patch of the building has of each patch of the sky, and then a matrix that describes the radiance coming from each patch of the sky over each hour of the year, and we multiply those together. And we have programs that will do that for us. So if you are locked into the radiance suite, then you're using rcontrib to calculate your daylight coefficient matrix and gen-day matrix to calculate your sky matrix, and you multiply the two together with DC time step. A few years ago, I was looking at annual glare calculation, how to speed it up, and I was really concentrating on speeding up the ray tracing component of the calculation, speeding up the creation of the daylight coefficient matrix by using graphics processing units, GPUs, to do faster ray tracing. And as GPUs evolved and got faster and more of the functions moved out of software and into hardware, into silicon-based processors that do the ray tracing for you, that sped up more and more. And so we were able to get about a 14-time speed up just by going from doing computations on a CPU to a GPU. But as the speed of ray tracing sped up, the speed of the matrix multiplication didn't. So as the orange part of the bar becomes smaller, the blue part, the matrix multiplication, becomes a bigger issue to deal with. And so the question then was, well, how can we deal with that? And I started looking for different options, different ways of handling that, and I started to become interested in NumPy. So NumPy is a Python library that allows you to do matrix operations using built-in functions in the CPU hardware. So instead of writing a for loop and doing an operation on each element, you do the operation on the entire matrix at once. And if I could give a little analogy, I like to give an analogy to cooking. So if you learned a program, you might have learned to do it the way that you follow a recipe. So you do one step at a time in making that program, processing that data, following that recipe. And so if we take this toy problem, so you've got this array A that's just a million random numbers, and you want to add one to each of them, you might approach it something like this. Add one to the first element, then add it to the second, and so on, and the processor just follows each of those. With NumPy and vectorization, we treat it more like an assembly line. So if you want to make a large quantity of food in this case, you can't think of it as following a recipe doing one step at a time. You have to batch process. You have to do the same operation on many objects simultaneously. And so if we do that in NumPy, it looks like this. We make that same array of a million numbers, and we just tell it add one to the array. And what that looks like on the processor is we give the instruction add one to your value, and all of the registers say okay, and they do that to the value that they're holding. And if your computer is like mine, it has 32 addition registers on each core, then it is about 30 times faster to do this. So what happens if we apply that to daylight calculations? Here is the formula for daylight autonomy and spatial daylight autonomy written out in Python. This is about the fastest way that I know to process it if you're just writing it out in the traditional method. It involves two loops and three if statements. Doing that same thing in NumPy looks like this. We took that whole thing and basically condensed it down to three lines. The first one calculates the luminance, the second calculates daylight autonomy, the third line calculates spatial daylight autonomy. Each one is a single operation that's being sent as a single instruction to the processor to do that operation on a large amount of data. No loops, no if statements. So I decided to try this out. What is the difference if we start using a vectorized operation to calculate spatial daylight autonomy instead of doing it using traditional programming methods? And I took this case study office, so it's an imaginary space. I tried out three different grid spacings, three different sky resolutions, so that changes the size of the matrix. So I tried on nine different size matrices. And here's the result showing the speed up of the vectorized calculation compared to the traditional approach. And you can see that it scales. So as the number of sensor points becomes larger and as the sky resolution becomes higher, the speed up factor becomes larger as well. You get more out of it if you're dealing with a larger problem. And so you can get up to about a 200 times speed up there. Now, if you're doing a daylight calculation, you're probably working in red, green, and blue channels because we tend to do lighting in red, green, and blue channels. Since I was doing this in Python, I was writing my own code, I didn't need to do it for red, green, and blue because I know that our daylighting models are usually just grayscale. So assuming this is a grayscale model, I could just do the calculation once instead of three times and get a 400 times speed up out of that. And that's about where this is now in thinking that we can make our matrix multiplication step 400 times faster using vectorized calculations as opposed to the traditional programming approach. So what about looking at glare? So in a traditional approach to annual glare calculations, we need to render a scene for each hour of the year. So for this particular point in the center of the room, I take that rendering and I do it 8,760 times. And DC TimeStep can do this as well based on a matrix function. So here's what the speedup looks like there. And this is just for the matrix multiplication step. It took my laptop about 20 minutes to do that step using DC TimeStep. And when I do it in NumPy using vectorized calculations, it's about 16 times faster. But in Python, I can also start to look at which components of the calculation are taking really long time. So if I take that little bar there and blow it up to see what's going on in there, most of the time is actually spent writing all of the simulation result files. So that's 8,760 individual rendered images that need to be written out. That takes a substantial amount of time. If we could write our software in a way that it processes those images directly in the same program instead of writing them to files, we could save all that time, and instead of being 16 times faster, we'd be about 200 times faster. And again, this is using red, green, and blue channels. If we were to do it in black and white, we could probably get to that 400 times speed up here as well. The last example that I want to share has to do with HDR photography. So HDR photography, the idea is that we take a set of bracketed exposures. This is just a bunch of pictures of a window taken with different timed exposures here and composited together. We often do this in false color, but I'll just show a nice tone-mapped rendering of those photographs altogether. This is an image that I took with a Canon EOS R camera, which is a 30 megapixel camera. And to understand what that means, it means that we can blow this image up a lot. So take a look at those flowers sitting on the window, and then take a look at them now. So just zooming in on the same image, and we can do that with that, you know, really high resolution image, which is something we haven't traditionally been able to do with HDR images taken with older cameras. So what if I want to use this resolution image in glare analysis? Well, you know, I tried out just opening this in WX False Color. It spent about 30 minutes trying to open and then eventually crashed because of the size of the image. What if we try to do this with Python? Here are some timings for the for some different operations on that image taken using NumPy. So first of all, just reading it, high dynamic range images have usually been stored in a compressed file format, which is a run length encoded compression. So it takes about 22 seconds to open a file of that size. It's almost a 100 megabyte file when you're using compression. If you take it uncompressed, in which case it's 114 megabytes, it actually opens much quicker because it doesn't have to do that decompression algorithm, which was coded in NumPy for this. Writing, doing the compression takes a lot longer than decompression. It takes almost 2 minutes to write it to a compressed file. If you're writing it to a flat file, uncompressed, it's much quicker. Operations like tone mapping the image or displaying the image in various different formats and softwares takes about a second or less. So this is something where we get a big advantage from doing this with vectorized operations. So, a few conclusions. And there's not really much to this, except to say that vectorization is a very useful tool for working with big data when it comes to daylight. And so we can apply this as a way to solve the matrix multiplication bottleneck in calculating spatial daylight autonomy, annual sunlight exposure, useful daylight illuminance, daily light integral, equivalent melanopic lux, imageless daylight glare probability, predicted mean vote, universal thermal climate index, and I'm sure that there are many other metrics that we could look at using this as well. These are just the ones that I've tried so far. NumPy provides a very intuitive way of doing this that allows us to write algorithms to calculate these using very short pieces of code. In fact, if you go into the paper, the paper doesn't refer to a GitHub repository or anything like that. The code is right there in the paper because it's that short. And you are welcome to use it in any tools that you are developing under the terms of the MIT license. NumPy is not the only way to do it. NumPy is calling the basic linear algebra subsystems a library, so if you prefer to do that from C or another language, those are available as well. It takes quite a bit more of a learning curve to do that out of C than it does to do it in Python. The next bottleneck that I think that we're facing is working with the time it takes to write things to disk. So the GPU has been really helpful for solving the bottleneck of ray tracing. NumPy is really helpful for solving the bottleneck of matrix multiplication, but we're dealing with large files and lots of files. And so if we can start to move away from storing intermediate results on disk and process them directly in the same software, I think that this is the next opportunity to create a large speed improvement. There's also an opportunity to improve the way that we do glare analysis, and I think that we've been using low-resolution images for glare analysis for a long time because it's what we were able to use. If we're able to use high-resolution, high-dynamic-range images, we may be able to learn much more about the way that people perceive and react to glare. And finally, I think that we're in a position to talk about how we use disk space and whether or not we still need to be using compression algorithms like run-length encoding. To motivate that, here's just a graph that I found that talks about the cost of storage, of memory, and how that's evolved over time. And I want to point out that back when the Radiance formats were developed in 1985, that image, that high-resolution image that I was showing, would have cost $10,000, you know, as a 100-megabyte image, would have cost $10,000 to store that to disk. And today it's a cost that we don't even think about. But the cost of doing the compression is something that we need to talk about in minutes instead of seconds. And so perhaps now it's time to start just storing these images uncompressed. So I don't know, but, you know, Greg Ward, if you're listening out there, stop using run-length encoding, please. All right. Thanks.
Hi, Ralph Mealeisen, Argonne National Lab. Thank you, Nathaniel. You gave a perfect example of when to do real matrix multiplies. I was wondering if you had done any comparison, maybe it's in your paper because I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, to the sort of just-in-time compilers like Numba or PyPy, which will unwrap the loops and vectorize it itself to see if it probably it won't be quite as fast as NumPy if you do NumPy right, because NumPy is compiled really well. But have you done any checks to see how those help?
So the answer is no.
Okay.
I think it's a really interesting question, and I think it comes down to sort of the bigger question of trying to get the community to use more tools that they're able to modify themselves. One of the, you know, like it or not, because a lot of us are users of Greg Ward's tool, which I'm not sure if I'm allowed to name here, but it is a tool that's written in C, is compiled, and there are only a few of us out there who know how to compile it ourselves, which means that it's very hard to modify. But it is written in C. Greg is an incredibly efficient coder, and he has done a lot in DC time step to make it run, you know, very efficiently. It still just doesn't compare well to vectorized coding, and that's why I think that however you're doing it, and NumPy is the example that I chose to use, vectorized coding gives, you know, a really important speed boost.
Liam Buckley with IES Software. Great presentation, Nathaniel. Thank you. Just a clarification, please. I know there, you had some claims on 30 times faster and then others on 200 to 400 times faster.
Yeah.
For, say, a daylight calculation, just an SDA calculation, is that assuming that Accelerat is using or is being used for the daylight coefficients, or is it where is the speed up?
Sure. So the timings I was showing were just the matrix multiplication speed up, independent of whether you chose to use a GPU or a CPU-based ray tracer to calculate the matrices that go into the process. As to the 30-time versus 400-time, there are a lot of other steps, a lot of other processor steps that go into the calculation aside from just the matrix multiplication itself. So what we're getting when we look at the speed up in DC time step, as opposed to the speed up of just doing adding in a for loop, is we're seeing a lot of other steps that went into handling that matrix being, you know, obviated by sending it over to NumPy.
Thank you. Chip Barnaby, independent consultant. If I understood right, these are vectorized instructions that are on the CPU, right? You're not using GPU.
Right.
Right. And one thing that I've never educated myself about is that there are these endless series of additional instructions that seem to be added at every rev of the processors, the various SSE2 and whatever. I don't know. Are there issues with you got to have the right computer to do this, basically? If your machine's 2 years old, it doesn't have the instructions available to do them.
So there are, in theory, implementation differences that could be on different processors. NumPy is using basic linear algebra subsystem, which is a standardized library of commands, which means that every processor that implements it should be able to do those things. How exactly that's implemented in silicon could vary from one processor to the other, and I couldn't tell you how it's done. But the Library of Commands has been available for quite some time now. I think it's about 20 years old. So at this point, you shouldn't come across a computer that doesn't have those commands available on it. Thank you.